And a man who recently had his heart broken goes home after working a night shift to find a woman asleep on his driveway. It's the story of the new book One, which looks at the scars we leave on one another and the lengths we go to for love. I'm joined now by the Perth-based author Andrew Hutchinson to hear about it. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm actually Canberra-based.
Canberra now. Oh, you're right.
Yes, much colder.
Yeah. So are you able to tell us the story behind this book?
Yeah, it's hard to describe because, like, any time someone asks me about it and they say, can you put it into a one-liner? It's like, it's about relationships, and you can, like, as soon as you sort of get about 5 seconds into the description, you can see them start to regret asking the question. because of the complexity of it, it sort of makes it hard to narrow down, and I really don't like those, like, the matrix of something or something like that. So the story came from trying to understand why people get so attached to another person's acknowledgement or opinion. Like, of the billions of people in the world, we get entirely drawn to that one person. We need that one person's acknowledgement. And that really fascinated me. And I was trying to think of a way that you could explore that and show that, you know, how that comes to define you, how that relationship comes to define who you are and what you do and why you do it. So that's where the story came from. And I guess because of the nature of the story, it makes it hard to reveal too much because it's one of those slow reveal type things. Mm-hmm. But that's essentially where it came from, is trying to understand relationships and how they can become all-consuming and change who we are to the point where we don't even necessarily recognize it ourselves.
Mm. It's a really solid concept. Was it what were you inspired by?
I guess it's relationships in general, like of my own relationships and other ones I'd seen. Seeing the way that people are affected, and you read stories about people who, you know, give away their money or, you know, give away their life or whatever just because they needed that acknowledgement. And I guess there's so many stories of loneliness and how people are, you know, devastated by loneliness and how they just want that one other person. And I guess all of those cumulatively sort of contributed to my thinking on it and trying to think of how you can look at, you know, how they become so all consuming. But then once people are in a relationship, how they don't necessarily see the impacts that it's having on them and then what they're becoming because of it. So I guess one was a way of exploring that and showing it from a perspective that presents it and presents you for who you are, and so you can see how these, you know, have affected the character and how they've affected his life and in ways that, yeah, he didn't necessarily realize.
And the way you describe it, you probably don't want to classify it as a genre, but do you have like a particular reader who you think would be interested in it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a genre, but there's obviously elements of all those different things in it. Look, the things that I was watching and reading at the time, like Alex Garland's The Coma was a book that I really liked. I was watching Lost a lot when I first came up with the concept, and I really loved the idea, the TV show Lost, of where the characters had a lot more backstory and a lot more things going on. Like, everything was connected. Like, you'd see a character would do something, and then there was a whole lot of things that led to that. And I think that's sort of what drives a lot of writers in what they do, is exploring why people do things and what makes these things happen. Like, if you read a newspaper headline, it's not, that story didn't just come out of nowhere. The person who's done that thing has done it because of a long list of things that have happened in their life that have led them to believing this is the right way to go. So those are the sort of things that drove it. So in terms of, you know, genre, it sort of doesn't really fall into any, like, ideally, yeah, literary fiction is what I write, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it sort of does touch upon supernatural themes to a degree, and it touches on different elements. Things like the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was something that sort of, you know, comes back when looking at, you know, how it's constructed. A whole lot of different things like that contributed to my thinking, I guess, around how I could use those sort of constructs to put together a story that explores what I wanted to.
I'm speaking with author Andrew Hutchinson about his latest book, One. And I was reading on your website, it sounds like you've had sort of an interesting journey coming to this book. Did you have quite a bit of difficulty writing it?
Yes. The biggest challenge, I guess, is that the first time around, my first book was published in 2007. And I guess the first time around, you're just sort of mucking around to a degree. You're putting together words to see if you could. So for me, that's really what I was doing. I didn't know if I could create a novel and write a novel, so I set about trying to do it, put it together. If a few of my friends had read it and said it was good, I would consider that, you know, an achievement or a win in itself. So there was no pressure or anything. It was just putting it together and doing whatever I could. And then from there, obviously, sent it to different competitions and things, and yeah, ended up getting published. So, yeah, it did far better than I sort of expected. It was really like a learning exercise. Second time around, it was like, now you're signed up to a major publisher. Now this is going to publishers. This is going to readers. There's a lot more internal pressure that you stack on yourself. I guess the same as the second album syndrome for musicians is now it's a completely different kind of the way you're looking at it. So the struggle that I had was, one, whether I was good enough to produce a story or produce the story that I wanted to produce. But also, every time I'd read something, read what I'd written, it'd be like, this isn't, you know, it's not capturing it. And I was looking at it thinking, what would a real writer write? What would an award-winning author write? Like, how can I change this to make it to the level that would be expected of a published author, I guess, even though I am a published author. And it's all that imposter syndrome where you're not sure if you're going to be able to do it. I think everyone suffers from that to a degree. You're putting yourself out there. And I really wanted it to be this great work of art that captures everything I wanted to capture, like, and sort of used the platform I had to showcase what I could do. And I didn't know whether I had the capacity to do that. So it took a long time of internal struggles and internal sort of criticism to get to the point where I felt like I was reaching the story that I wanted to reach. And I think in the initial drafts, I was trying to get too complicated and too complex. And it took a long time to strip it back to what the actual story was that I wanted to communicate. And then getting back to the basics and thinking of how I could explore that more specifically, and that sort of narrowed it down, got me focused, and yeah, it started to flow from there.
That's really interesting hearing about that. And you're talking about your first book. For people who know your first book, how do these two books compare with each other?
I mean, they're very, like, in my approach to writing, they're very similar, obviously, because the way I write is always driven by questions. It's always driven by what things I want to know about and don't understand, and I'm trying to investigate. So, like, for me, writing is as much about learning about things and trying to understand things as it is about communicating, entertaining a story, and then trying to share that, put that into someone else's head so you can try and help them see things from a different perspective. So with the first one, which was called Rehypnol, that was inspired by, I was listening to radio reports of more and more cases of drink spiking in Melbourne nightclubs, and I didn't understand how that could possibly happen. So the story sort of developed from that into a story about young guys doing this in Melbourne nightclubs. So it was raised by that question. It's the same thing with One. There was, looking at my own relationships and other relationships and how people are completely defined by them, then coming up with a story that sort of investigates that. So in my approach, it's the same, but the stories are very, very different. And ideally, I wanted to sort of show that I can write something like One. Is obviously quite confronting material. There's a lot of controversial stuff in there, and there was a part of me that wanted to show that that's not who I am. I'm not another Bret Easton Ellis type who's going to try and constantly try and shock you with the next thing. And no criticism to Bret Easton Ellis, but I wanted to show that my writing style is more diverse than that, and there's more ways that I can express a story. The things that I want to explore are more diverse than that. It's not about shock so much as I want to explore what people do and why they do them.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are your plans for the future? Do you have another book in the works?
I do. It was strange that, like, once I'd sort of got this sort of clog out of the way of my writing process, like, I couldn't work on anything because obviously I was contracted to write One, and I really wanted to get it done. I was completely committed to going through it, even though it took such a long time to get through. I had to get it done, really. Like, a lot of writers will say this, and it's sort of an artsy type thing to say, but yeah, once you're sort of, you're drawn to write, like, you have to write. Like, writers have to write, and that's what, compels you on. You can't even help it. Like, it's something that you do, and it's a part of who you are. And so for me, it was like, this project has to be done. This is something that I really want to explore, and it's a story that's been with me for a long time, so I was committed to getting it out. But once I did, I'd sort of realised that I can write again. Like, it is in me to write, good enough, and I was confident that, the story had, completed the goals that I wanted for it. And so immediately it was like, I got into a flow of writing. I've sort of, been able to find a time in my daily schedule where I can take the kids to school, and before I pick them up, I have a couple of hours to do some writing. And yeah, once I got into that flow, I thought, right, well, while I'm doing this and while we're editing one, I'll start working on the next one. So I've almost completed the first draft for the next one, and yeah, working on another story in bits and pieces to try and get it through. But yeah, really trying to just keep pushing. Like, now that I've got back into the flow, I really don't want to lose it. Similar to sort of to exercise. Once you get to the point where you're doing exercise regularly and you start to feel guilty about not doing it, then that's when you sort of get to the real cadence and the real flow. And that's similar, I found, with writing, is that once you've got to a point where you have to do it, you've got a time and you feel guilty not doing it, you should stick with that, because as soon as you start to lose it, that's when, yeah, you can start to drift away from it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Andrea, I love hearing you speak about it. You're so passionate about your work. Thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me.
That was Andrea Hutchinson. He's talking about his latest book, One. So for more information, you can head to andreahutchinson.com.au.